Show, episode number 428. My name is John Morgan, and man, do I love the Pacific Northwest. Man, I look outside, 75 degrees, little cloudy sky, slight drizzle coming down. Man, do I love the Pacific Northwest. Except I'm not in the Pacific Northwest. I was supposed to be in Vancouver. Instead, Cold Coffee is with me. We are here at the beautiful Casa de Cold Coffee. And I will say, all those things I said about the Pacific Northwest are happening in Las Vegas right now. It is 75 degrees, a little cloudy, slight drizzle. But my plans to go to Vancouver were changed at the last minute.
You know, it's funny. I was doing the geography in my head, and you said Northwest, and I started immediately, for some reason, thinking Boston. I was going to ask you about clam chowder, and I was like, wait, no, that's not even in the right.
Definitely not the Northwest. That is the Pacific Northeast, or that'd be the Atlantic Northeast. Yeah. There is no Pacific. Anyway.
Oh, isn't there? No.
Terrible. Yes, yeah, so in a wild development, you know, we – Our travel department is a big department. A lot of people over there in the travel department, and somehow the wires just got crossed in there a little bit. And you know, these things happen. I mean, when you're dealing with a staff the size of the staff that we've got, sometimes wires get crossed and hotel reservations don't get made. And you know, it was funny. It was Sunday afternoon. I was starting to line out my plans for the week, and I was, all right, I got my flight. Yeah, okay, checking my calendar, and I'm like, I never got a hotel confirmation now that I think about it. And so I reached out to the large travel staff, and I was like, hey.
You got passed through a few people before you finally got to
somebody. I was on hold for a little bit, got one of the callbacks, got a hold. And, unfortunately, my hotel reservations were never made. And so then when I went to go look at it, like, everything was either sold out or incredibly expensive. And at that point, it was just like,
I hear it's really, really bad.
Super expensive. It wasn't going to be cheap to begin with. But it was right on that borderline of like, it's pretty expensive. And then a couple days out, I was like, I'm not spending this kind of money on a hotel. It's just not worth it.
That's the kind of thing where if you book it that close, you're going to screw yourself for the rest of the year. At least at some point, you know, you're going to like, are these where you want the dollars to go?
Right.
You know, nothing much about this card.
Wish I had a few extra bucks on the side for something that came up. And I'm like, I pulled the trigger on that last second.
Yeah.
Looking to Vancouver.
I know that Jose Young, I know that he was looking at some different stuff, and I think he ended up getting an Airbnb, which I was thinking, I was like, dude, I haven't done an Airbnb in a while.
Yep.
You know, because just some of the hotels are closer now that I've become like a little Hilton whore, you know, trying to get like Hilton points once I got to like the diamond status or whatever. I'm just like, Hilton, Hilton, Hilton. He was telling me like even those were like crazy priced out or something. So he's back at the Airbnb. And it just made me think. I was like, dude, when was the last time I've done an Airbnb? It's been a while. Yeah.
And those are always more I actually thought about that, too, as I was looking for Vancouver initially to see if, like, maybe somebody wanted to pair up on an Airbnb. Because I think Airbnbs are actually kind of fun when you have, like, more than one person. And so you're like.
Yeah, it can be.
You know, depending on the property. I'm not saying if you're trying to slam into something small. But
I mean, you don't want to have somebody that's going to lock you out in the middle of the night, you know, fall asleep, you know, and lock you out. And then you either, you know, have to try to get back in.
Who would do that? Somebody that would, like. Wear earplugs while they sleep, but lock the front door so that you can't get back in.
Knowing that nobody has a deadbolt. Nobody has a key to the deadbolt.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I had totally forgotten about that.
Oh, I can never forget about it.
We will leave the names to those that remember the time, but there was almost some homicides being committed at one point on an
killing
MMA junkie trip.
Killing coworkers.
Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, I am going to ride out the week in Las Vegas here for UFC 289 Fight Week. Honestly, not the worst. You know me. My kid's out of school right now. He doesn't have any summer camps or anything like that. He's got a lot of activities over the summer. This is a week where he didn't have anything going on. So, we'll hang out, and it just gives me a little bit of extra time at home before – the schedule does get kind of nutty with CFSC travel and Fight League Atlantic travel and all that. So it wasn't the worst development, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. You guys still do the gaming? You guys for a while there, you guys were doing the what's that game? Fortnite. You played any Fortnite lately?
It's been a little bit. We don't play that much, especially during school. We didn't get to play that much. We're playing a little bit more. He's, you know.
Has he moved on? Because I know a lot of times that the games, especially when he has other sports and stuff, like, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, the desire to keep going back on the games thing, you know, kind of wears off a little bit.
He still likes the game a little bit. He's playing some of the new Zelda game that came out on the Switch.
I've heard about that. Yeah. I haven't played it
yet. I can't remember what it's called. I think Breath of Time was the last one, maybe. I can't remember what this one was called.
I can't remember. I saw a commercial for it. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, he likes that. He's playing that on the Switch. He'll play Fortnite just with me, basically.
Like something we can kind of do.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's like your guy's thing.
We'll get together and play duos, jump on the same team, and Then I get pissed off at him. I'm like, what are you wandering around? Don't leave me. Like, he's got to cover me. Let's be honest with you, man.
And then, he's probably like, get your shit together, John.
Yeah, basically. I'm like, I can't build. Like, I can.
That shit's hard.
Bro, I can explore the map, and I can shoot pretty well, and I can do all that. But as far as, like, once you start getting into those build battles where people – I
can
out.
Build literally four walls. That's about it. You build, and then somebody usually shoots it by that time, and then you're like, ah.
I'm out. Yeah, at that point, I'm out. So I'm going to have to squeeze in a little bit of that this week. He's doing a lot of jiu-jitsu, doing a lot of soccer, so trying to keep him off the video games, but Zelda's his thing right now. So
That's cool.
End up with an extra week at home. UFC 289, listen, it's – you know what's interesting? Because this week is actually a very, very busy week in terms of the MMA schedule. I mean, you got PFL returning, and that'll be on Thursday night. You got one championship, which will have two cards because obviously they're doing that one weekly series every Friday morning, and then they'll do the fight night at night. They're on Prime Video this Friday night. Although the featured matchups in that one are title fights, but they're kickboxing or excuse me, Muay Thai and submission grappling, so it's not MMA actually in their featured fights. And then you got UFC 289, which is a pay-per-view, and this is one where I guess I'll just have to say I feel for the fans on this one because this is a tough one, right? Like, I look at this card and I'm excited about it. To be honest, there's some matchups on here that I think are going to be exciting. The top two fights, of course, are big time. But here's the thing is that you and I, because we work in this industry, don't have to pay for the pay-per-views out of pocket, right? You know what I'm saying? And so I always say that I'm like a bad judge of – because, I have to pay for it and I get paid back for it. So it's like it never really comes out of my budget. So like, I could see like as I'm not going to knock the car because I'm excited about this, but if I had to pay the $80, I could see why I might be a little bit frustrated, especially knowing, dude, you might want to save that money knowing you got two pay-per-views next month.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And then, by the end of the year, so, there's what, two – there's just so many. There's just literally so many pay-per-views. It's just unreal. And that's not counting other sports that you might want to actually pay into, you know, say if there's a boxing or something. Yeah, I mean, no offense to the ladies at the top of the card or even the co-main. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of screaming heat out of either of these battles where you're just like, oh, man, I just can't wait to see fight week. You know, there's just going to be so much shit talk. You're like, this is going to be like the most polite fight week of it all. I mean, you never know. Stuff can be surprised when they finally get in touch. Like, I can't remember. I assume there's a presser that's going to be going on tomorrow, you know, and then they're going to face them off. So maybe there'll be a little bit of heat between. But for the most part, they're going to be so just calm and cool.
Agreed.
I mean, like, Charles isn't going to say anything, and it's not like he understands anything that Beneil's going to be saying in the moment anyways. And Beneil doesn't talk trash.
No.
I don't see, you know, Irene going in there and saying anything about Amanda.
Nothing.
Like,
the
just
on-sale
all
press conference was nothing but respect.
Yeah, it was just pure respect. And, I mean, you get down the line, maybe Landwehr will get into Ige's face and say a little something. But
Ige's too much of a pro to really buy into that.
He's not going to buy into it. Curtis, maybe Chris Curtis will, you know, but
– but
you know,
he won't be at the press conference.
Oh, that's true.
It's only main card at the press conference.
It's
just kind of a flat build up, right? I mean, this is why I don't think you don't want to watch it. You want to watch it.
There's some good fights on it.
To ask me if I had the $80 out of my pocket, I might be a little bit stretched. And I think that's perfectly
fair. This could have been
a
really great ESPN card.
Phenomenal ESPN card.
You know, because, I mean, it's better, obviously, when there's a title fight. You can't just put that as like a regular fight night. That's just like, oh, what are we doing here?
Right.
You know, but a nice, solid ESPN or ABC's card, you know, something
great,
where they're trying to do
great
something like
network
that.
Network television card.
That would have been
a title
perfect.
Fight, a number one contender fight, Ige Landwehr, which is going to be crazy. You know, you got Milan Fugit could be good. I mean, yes, you're right. That ABC or ESPN would have been perfect.
Would have been perfect. But, yeah, I mean, this is tough. And I would hate to say, like, okay, this is that one you want to skip because there's going to be great fights on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, when your budget spread pretty thin and I had to pick between this and, say, like, UFC 290 or something – 290 is going to get my money.
It's funny. I was doing a weigh-in stream the other day, and somebody had the question in the chat, like, which card is better, 290 or 291? And you put those cards next to each other.
That's a good card.
They're so damn good. Like,
good
it's
cards.
Hard to pick which one's good. So it's just the reality is if I'm thinking, man, I got to buy two pay-per-views next month, like, maybe I'm not going to buy this one. So I think this one's going to be a struggle sales-wise for the UFC, but there's still some very intriguing matchups. And like I said, it's a busy week for MMA, even if it doesn't necessarily – feel like it because it's not the most massive week, so to speak, of it. But
and again, this was also like, hey, Canada, we didn't forget you.
Right.
You know, this is for the Canadians. You know, the Canadians. The Canadians. I mean, this is, you know, Canada's been like chomping at the bit, like, hey, when are you going to come back? When are you going to give us a little something? So you know it's going to be sold out. They're going to be having a great time.
Sure.
The city's going to absolutely love it. But in terms of, you know, is this one of the ones where, you know, they're going to be like, oh, you know, our numbers did crazy. But listen, remember, you know, like, the UFC's already got their money for this.
They don't care.
They don't
really
care. ESPN.
And not that, and I hate when people say that because it makes it sound like they don't care in terms of like, whatever, we'll put – trust me, they don't feel – you know, Sean and Mick and Dana and Hunter, like those guys, they're not sitting in the war room going, just put whatever, we're good.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be like – oh my God, we're dead in this. Like, we're going to take
like,
a
are we
going to
make our
this?
Money?
Yeah.
I mean, because always, even with just the ticket sales, if they make their ticket sales and they sell it like what they know and they make their gate, they're going to get their money for the production. Their production is going to be there.
That's usually how they have it budgeted. The gate should take care of all the salaries.
Now, remind me, didn't something change in Canada? Canada? I'm just kidding. Didn't something change in Canada when it came to pay-per-view? Aren't they? Isn't this a pay-per-view now? Did they change the way the ESPN works in Canada? Are they paying for this now?
That's a good question.
So if that's the case,
I know they pay for some events. I don't know if they pay for all events. But
I just wonder if this is where they're gonna. It doesn't matter how well it does here because if they're able to bring in extra money coming from Canada, and that's if in fact it is. I just remember that there were some things changing with the.
That's a good question.
The way that
I can't remember because I know
there.
They do that like where some events like. When Conor fights, that becomes a pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like that, they'll make that a pay-per-view
they
in whatever market
or whatever.
Exactly. So I know they do like in Australia, they make that a pay-per-view card. So they may have. I don't think this one is going to do phenomenal financially, but look, they
but
know
it's
going to
be
too.
A good. It's going to be a fun card.
It's going to be a good
it's
card.
It's going to be a card.
So let's talk about the main event because Amanda Nunes versus Irene Aldana. You said it. All respect coming in. I will be honest with you. I am intrigued by this fight because for many reasons and. Irene Aldana, number one, she's just fun to watch fight. I mean, we've talked about her style for years now, about how entertaining she can be. Her boxing is as good as anybody in the game, man. Her footwork, you know, sits behind the jab, makes it exciting. And to me, the possibility of a stand-up fight with Amanda Nunes with somebody that can actually box the way Irene Aldana can, that's potentially exciting. Now, when you look at Amanda Nunes, you certainly think she's got the power edge, right? Like, she comes in just dropping bombs. So even if somebody's moving well, you know, pumping out the jab a little bit, Amanda can still just run forward and throw those big bombs. And Amanda Nunes, you know, look, I say greatest of all time. I think second at worst. I mean, the worst you can say is that Chris Cyborg is the greatest of all time because she's been dominant over a much longer period of time. But they had a head-to-head meeting, and Amanda Nunes won. So I think she's the greatest of all time. So she's the favorite, deservedly so. But when I look at this stylistically, I look at Irene Aldana as somebody that can make it interesting, that can make it fun, that has the crisp boxing. And then you start adding in all the intangibles too, right? Amanda Nunes had the loss against Juliana Pena, admitted she was kind of contemplating retirement, but she wasn't going to go into retirement and let Juliana walk off with her belt. She was fired up. Juliana, of course, likes to stir the pot a little bit. She likes to talk some trash. Amanda didn't want to let that happen. So Amanda, you know, comes back, dominates that, picks up her belt back. This was going to be the trilogy fight. It changes when Pena has to come out. Now, on the one hand, Nunes has said, hey, I actually like this better because I don't have, it's not as heavy of a prep. It's not as dark. You know, I'm not having to deal with all this trash talk. When they had the on-sale press conference, it was super respectful. They're like, hey, we're just two fighters. They're going to have fun. We're going to put on a show for the fans. But maybe that's good or maybe it's not for Amanda Nunes because I don't know how much longer she wants to fight. Just kind of mentioned it, you know, she's got a lot of money in the bank, she has nothing else to prove, how much longer does she want to keep doing this? And so maybe she needed that motivation of a Juliana Pena to kind of piss her off a little bit, enough to really drive her to be focused. And then you look at all the things surrounding Aldana too, right? The rise of Mexico right now, yeah. Brandon Moreno, Yair Rodriguez, and then even closer to home, Alexa Grasso, who not only did Alexa Grasso become champion, but Alexa Grasso knocked off another one of the GOATs, you know, and Valentina Shevchenko. So here's the woman that you've trained with for years, you've been side to side on the mats with, and you see her pull off this shocking upset over a GOAT of her division, and now maybe it doesn't look so hard for you, that mountain doesn't seem so high to climb, where you're like, oh man, I'm trying to convince myself I can do this. No, I saw my teammate just do it, so I'm picking Amanda Nunes in this. I don't know how you ever pick against Amanda Nunes, but I do believe that Irene Aldana can make this a very interesting fight.
Yeah, and I mean, Aldana, I mean, you got to love, I mean, even when you talk about how, with she, I agree with the part that the heat that having to have that Juliana brought definitely put that fire.
Right.
You know, but plus two, Amanda came in there and she was sick. You know, we didn't really know about all that stuff. We just thought that she was off that first night. So I think there was a part of her that wanted to prove like, hey, this is what I can do when I'm fully there. But also, Juliana talked a lot of trash to her, and I think did boil her blood a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there was ever a person to lose it to, if there is that thought of like, hey, I'm about to be done or whatever, and I'm looking elsewhere, why not hand it off to somebody that's somebody like Aldana, mm-hmm. who says all the right things, who has a country behind her. I don't see anything that Amanda thinks about her that is anything bad. I think it'd be a nice handoff. I think it'd be a nice moment after the fact. I don't think she's ready to walk away, but again, we've been waiting for this eventual final fight for a long time with her. And do I think that she wants to go out on a winner? I do. I don't think she's going to try to go in there and half-ass, but even if she did win, I think there's still any possibility that she could hang it up after it anyways.
Yeah.
You know?
She got the second kid on the way. Yeah. You know, she's loving that family life.
What if she does the whole, like, you know, this is just being silly, wins the belt, and at the very end you say, thank you so much, this has meant so much, you know, guys, and I'm going to take this belt home, but hey, at the same time, I'm going to lay this belt down, I'm walking away after this sport, you know, and then immediately they could just take Aldana and just book her again for a rematch, maybe with you, or an Aldana Pena.
Okay, now there's no way she's thought it through this much.
Yeah.
But can you imagine? You're so right. Can you imagine that, hey, thank you so much, and you know, everybody's got the, you know, the take the gloves off, and you lay the gloves down. She lays down two belts in the center of the cage, right? Lays two belts down in the center of the cage, lays the gloves down alongside of him, you just, know, poses I'm a, behind
I'm
it.
I'm going to be with my family.
Oh, man. Can you
know,
you
something
imagine?
Along those lines. I mean, it's going to, I mean, what better to do it on a win as opposed to, you know, taking a loss and then finally doing it, you know? I mean, that's just, it's being silly or whatever, but
you want, I mean,
but, I mean, there's, it's eventually it's going to happen.
And then you just wonder, and I do wonder, like, you know, she's got that private gym that she has set up now, you know, I think Lioness Studio, she calls it.
Yeah.
Which it's cool because she does talk. She's like, I'm in a happy environment. Like, it's just us. It's just my friends and family. Now, she's bringing in coaches, and it's not like she's just, oh, I just go in and skip some rope, and we're good to go. Like, no, she's bringing in coaches, and she does talk about, man, I just love the environment. Like, it's all about me and my friends, and, you know, my kid gets to run around. And now it's not your kid's running around ATT, and everybody's like, hey, cute, but, you know, we're trying to hold practice here. Like, oh, we're going to be nice to you because you're the champ, but the hell are you doing with your kid here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, it's a family
now
environment.
Now it's a family gym.
But I always wonder when people take that route, you know.
Well, we see what happened.
You
I mean,
need somebody pushing you. Sometimes
we
you
saw
need,
what happened
you know?
With Tony. Tony was great where it worked. It worked until it didn't work.
Right.
You know, and then it was a point where he even said, you know, like, I was glad to bring some people back in to help shape things. I mean, like, nobody ever questioned his work ethic. It's just there's times to stay focused, and there's times to push it. You know, you might tend to, oh, I want to go this way. My body's feeling like this. I'm going to go this way. And they might be like, hey, that's not what we really need to do. It's been a while since we've done this. Let's go back here. All right, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I can make this work.
Especially these days. You know? We're talking about, like, high-level science now.
Yes.
It's no longer just like, nah, man, you should work on your kicking today or
and
whatever.
Especially if these are the people that are watching the film. If you're a fighter that doesn't watch film and doesn't get too caught up, I mean, I think it's a slippery slope watching film anyways. You know what I mean? You want to watch. You want to have familiarity, but you don't want to let that be the only blueprint of what you think the other person's going to do. But let your coaches.
What if they don't do it?
Yep. So it's better let your coaches sort of scope that out, look at it, make sure you're prepared for it, but let them pivot to the different plans that they've had set up. Let them sit hours and hours pouring over footage and doing the other stuff. But you need those people to kind of be able to hand that off to. So I think having a home gym is great. I love having my little gym in the garage.
I mean, you're clearly at a world championship level right now. I mean, you're basically able to.
The other day at the Apex, they were like, we're a little full. Can we come over? And I was like, guys, I know I live close, but come on. We got to keep a wall between
us. This is my space.
But there's times I still need to go down to, like, the real gym, you know, where there's real stuff going on. There's real equipment and other stuff. But I think it's awesome that she has it. And before I forget, you know, I don't know what I was thinking in my head. I reached out to our boy, Bon, up in Canada, and I asked him, I was like, dude, did something change with the pay-per-views? And he says, no, it's always been this way. They're paying the full 80. U.S., Canada, Australia, I guess, always get fucked with the full fees as well. I thought for some reason Canada had, like, a deal where they didn't have to pay the same.
I did too, but you know what? Now that I think about it, I think now we're thinking
I know
about
Brazil and stuff.
I think now we're thinking about, like, Europe, like BT Sport.
Right.
BT Sport will go pay-per-view when it's Conor McGregor.
Okay.
So, yeah. So,
I guess
it's always,
always
pay-per-views
been,
has always been
Yeah, so I guess that's money as well. So, on some of these pay-per-views.
we get charged the full fee. You know?
Well, it's funny because he said we get fooked. We get fooked with the full fee. So, I guess there it is that too, you know. So, maybe it doesn't great in the state, but you're getting two whole countries that are going to be looking at it. But I think when it boils down to it, they don't really care. They just want to see a good turnout, because at the end of the night, if Dana can say that they sold out the venue and that they maybe, if they maybe took the gate to a new level.
That's it. We set the gate record.
Then he's happy. He's going to go home, and then the event to win. They're not caring about the pay-per-view numbers because they don't need them as much. But
then they're back at the Apex for a few weeks, and then it's International Fight Week, and then Utah is looking amazing.
This is a question to you guys, our roadshow peeps, you know, and you can let us know on our Patreon thing. Like, people bitch all the time about Apex shows. Us, as being guys that have to work them, I love being able to drive down the street. The internet works, and all the other stuff that you need to be able to do your job and not be like so stressed out. Like right now, I'm waiting for videos to get uploaded from Vancouver, and the internet's just actual shit. But at the Apex, things worked. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, man, Apex shows are boring. They're this and that. You know, I want to see them in front of a crowd. I'm like, what's it matter to you? The fight's the same. I mean, in the sense, like, we know that fighters will get all amped up when they get the crowd pushing them. And that's that extra push. That's the extra corner, man, that you don't see. It's the crowd around them. But ultimately, I like the Apex shows. But a lot of people are like, you know, always freak out. But what do you guys think? Do you guys mind Apex shows? I mean, when they say that, oh, we're going to have another stretch of like four Apex shows, or maybe four shows in Vegas where maybe one's at T-Mobile and three are at the Apex.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Well, it's funny because
I'd rather than four shows having to go down to deal with Vegas traffic and going down to the T-Mobile.
Here's what I think is the unfair comparison is that, like, you know, am I saying that I don't enjoy an event at a sold-out Madison Square Garden?
Sure.
Or so, you know, of course. But every show's not going to be that. You know what I mean? So it's like I saw the comparison last week. Obviously, KSW, which I totally had spaced on as we were talking about earlier in the week, but KSW had their big stadium show last weekend, and I saw a lot of people going, look at this that KSW is doing in the stadium, and then look at the UFC in an empty warehouse. What's going on here? It's like,
it's not a warehouse, folks.
Yeah. I'm like, it's an empty high-level, high-tech production studio. But no, but not every show is going to be the way. Like, that show was not going to ever be a sold-out arena. So if you just understand that, like, look, it's amazing that KSW can sell out this Coliseum. They can't do it every week. They can't do it every month. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're going to have those in between. So the frustration gets a little weird. Sometimes I feel like it's just people are just looking for something to bitch at, to be honest with you.
That's what it feels like. More times, I'm like, what are you guys really upset about?
Right.
What are you upset about? You're not paying anything to watch it. It's on ESPN, whatever. And you're gonna watch it and, like, who cares?
It's bizarre. Man. I don't hate it all. Now, if every show was there, like, yeah, I do love the sold out arenas, but not every arena is going to be sold out, and so they don't bother me as much. So anyway, I'm sure Rogers Arena will be sold out this weekend.
It should be gangbusters, I imagine.
Hasn't been in Canada for a long time, so good for them in Vancouver. Bummed I'm not going to be there, just because I love Vancouver as a city, man. It's absolutely gorgeous up there. But like I said, happy to be home in Las Vegas, despite the late change in plans. The co-main. Well, let me ask you one thing. I'm assuming you went ahead and picked Amanda Nunes.
I did.
Yeah. Do you see this being a stand-up fight, or do you think Amanda leans on her grappling and wins it that way?
I think it's going to be stand-up. I think it would be smart if she could, but I see Aldana being able to kind of just keep it on her feet,
you know.
But that being said, it's not a gimme by any means. Aldana, her movements, and she's got durability, and we've seen when Pena was really smart about actually kind of making. I mean, granted, that first fight, you know, Amanda just wasn't herself. The second fight certainly felt a whole heck of a lot different than that first fight. But she was able to kind of keep her moving, and we saw her tire out. Now, how much of that was actually because of the sickness that she kind of wore down? Mm-hmm. I just think Aldana's got a great sense of pace and is able to kind of put it on people and bring people into that sort of speed. Amanda usually kind of pushed forward anyways. But Aldana's got good hands, man. She's got good head movement. She's got good hands. If she starts smacking her and getting her, getting in Amanda's face, you know, maybe Amanda will slow down a little bit. And I think that will probably be in Aldana's favor. I see both of these women being able to make it to the fifth round, no problems at all. When it comes in terms of stamina and just being able to carry it through. I just think when it does come, like just like you mentioned before, when it comes to pure power, I think Amanda's got more power. I think she's got more power than a lot of the guys on the roster as well, especially some of the small guys. But Aldana, I mean, she's got good durability. We have seen her take some shots in the past, but I mean, I think her skill and her boxing skills has just improved quite a bit. She's got great head movement. I just think there's that X factor of that just Mexican pride and Mexican momentum that's going right now, that's just absolutely gangbusters. She's going to go in there literally with two champs behind her pushing, you know, not physically, but they're in spirit with her, pushing her forward. And I think that's just, that's an extra factor that you can't not pay attention to the fact that she's going to go in there with a sense of belief. Like, I want to be just like them. I want to have the belt on our shoulder. The time is now. And it's Amanda, but I still do feel it's Amanda's fight to lose.
I agree.
You know, if she makes mistakes, if she doesn't trust the fact that Aldana's got power, that she's got good head movement, and that she has the availability to stay standing, to shut down some of those takedowns, it'll be in her favor. Because if Nunes wastes a lot of power trying to go for takedowns and doesn't get it, she's going to start getting frustrated.
Right.
And Aldana, it's not a, I don't know what the odds are. I don't see her as being a big underdog. I see her as being an underdog. But if she comes in as a big underdog, I would think that would be a good play, because I think people are overlooking the fact of how tough that she actually is and how talented she is. This fight wouldn't have happened if she hadn't been fighting like she had been.
And I think you're spot on with that, because I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit shocked at the odds, because even right now, Amanda Nunes -350, Irene Aldana +260. I thought it would be closer than that, but then I look at where it opened. Irene Aldana, if you got this at open, +475.
Wow.
Which at +475, I think you take that all day, because I think she does have a real chance of winning this fight. But it got bet down very, very quickly. Now
I think people saw that. I think people saw that number and were just like, "Holy cow! Let me throw some money on it. That's ridiculous."
And again, it's because to me, it's not just. Sometimes we talk about style. Sometimes we talk about intangibles. To me, it seems like she has both those in her favor. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things. Now, but I think you said it the right way. It's still Amanda's fight to lose. But if she goes out there just thinking, well, hey, I'm Amanda Nunes, I win fights, that's just what I do. Not, I'm focused, I'm dialed in, I'm ready to be pressed to the edge, you know what I mean? I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to go in there and dig deep. Then, you know.
And how long do I want to stay in the sport?
That's it.
I mean, that's going to be that would have been the motivation through this whole fight camp, but that's also going to be the motivation. How deep does she want to go when it comes fight night?
Mm-hmm.
I think that first fight when she was sick against Juliana, I know I keep bringing this up, but it was just such a very different person that we saw that night. I feel like there was a lot of points in that fight where it just seemed like she didn't want to keep continuing. Either maybe she couldn't, maybe she was that ill or whatever, but it just looked like she didn't want to. It was just such a different Amanda that it just looked like she had complete, not that she'd given up, but that there was a something in her that doubt had creeped in.
Absolutely.
You know,
you
could see it.
Yep.
So when it comes to this one, I think if she, in her mind, if she's like, man, I got a couple good more fights after this, let me just go in and make a great, you know, a great showing. Let me take no damage and let me get out and let me get back in here. But if she's already thinking like, I think it just depends on where her head's at. And only she knows that, you know, and she's not going to, you know, it's the kind of stuff most people keep that close to their, close to the hilt, you know, if they're going to actually walk away at the end. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that it is going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if something happened after the end of this one.
I wouldn't either.
It's coming. It's coming soon. And I feel like we've been saying that for 2 years.
We have.
You know, like the time is now, the time is now. She's going to walk away and she just keeps coming. She keeps coming. But we're darn it. I mean, it's coming. It really, really is. And I wouldn't be surprised if she gets a win, walks away, or if she gets a loss and walks away after this fight.
Because there's not any fights that we're like, I got to see that fight before she leaves. I mean, she's had them all. So
she's had them all.
We'll see. Co-main event obviously is the one that everybody is excited about. Charles Oliveira versus Beneil Dariush. Again, excited for this one for two reasons. You know, number one, it's just a high-level fight. I mean, Charles Oliveira, Beneil Dariush, two of the most exciting guys in the division. You know, two guys that can do it on the feet, that can do it in the grappling department. I mean, really, really exciting fighters. But, of course, it's got the stakes in it. Now, you know, Dana White the other night kind of stopped short of saying it's for sure a number one contender fight, but he did kind of say, well, it seems like it probably is. And that's about the most you're ever going to get out of him because, you know, we get it at this point. It's just a lot of that is dictated by, you know, what's on the schedule. Is the champ ready to go? Do they need a challenger right away? What country are they fighting in? So who gets it? All those things do matter. And so I think that's why, you know, Dana White doesn't like to back himself into a corner and be like, yes, this is absolutely a number one contender fight. But it really just seems like it should be one that's maybe a little bit long in coming for Beneil Dariush. Meanwhile, Charles Oliveira trying to win the title back. It's a phenomenal fight. I'll be honest with you, the odds on this one, I was a little surprised to see, but kind of pleasantly surprised, because You know, I feel like Beneil Dariush just doesn't get the respect that he deserves. He's such a nice dude, and he's such a dangerous fighter. And he's just gone about doing things his way. You know, he's like, I'm not going to talk trash about other people to get where I am. I'm not going to call people out. I'm just going to keep winning. I'm just going to keep doing what I do, and that'll get me there. And it finally has, and he's finally got this matchup with Charles Oliveira. Meanwhile, Charles Oliveira, you know, we've been covering his career forever, and his arc has been great to see too. You know, the guy that came in that was a kid when he first came here, clearly had skills, but, you know, every now and then would, bottom line, he would quit. I mean, I hate to say it, but he did. There were fights where you could see he visibly quit. Now, that's not the knock on him anymore whatsoever. He's proven his mettle at this point. But, it's, you know, attaining the title and then had to walk away. Well, didn't have to walk away. It got took away from him, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But now he's trying to get back to that. So everything about this fight is awesome because it's two guys that are well-rounded, two guys that are exciting, and then you add the stakes on top of it that it's essentially a number one contender fight. But I mentioned the odds because I was surprised to see, but pleasantly surprised, but Beneil Dariush, a slight favorite in this one because I honestly thought, to me, when I look at this, it screams pick 'em to me because I can see this fight going either way. I keep going back and forth in my head. I keep just, you know, seeing both outcomes as a possibility. But I thought maybe that public sentiment of Charles Oliveira being the former champion, of Charles Oliveira being the guy that has been out there and in the bigger fights and is, you know, even though he doesn't speak English, you know, I feel like he's had more headlines and more media just because of the matchups that he was in and got him a nice new set of teeth. And,
his
teeth are fantastic. And he was starting to talk a little bit, you know, the champ has a name and his name is Charles Oliveira. You know?
So ridiculous.
That guy classic. And yeah, I mean, but hey, all that controversy, it did create headlines and it did, you know, kind of. So anyway, I thought Charles Oliveira might be the slight favorite just out of public sentiment. This screams pick 'em to me. I don't know which way I'm leaning. I know you had to turn in an official pick. Which way did you end up going, and how confident are you that you're on the right side of it?
You know, now I'm wondering what I did. I think I...
Oh, you must have been torn, too.
I was torn. Now I need to pull it up and see. I can't remember if I went... let me see who I picked. I might have went Oliveira. I think that's partially because I've had a hard time ever really sort of like saying no in the times I've done it in the past. I've gotten
against
bit,
Charles Oliveira?
Yeah. But man, if there's ever a time to lean Dariush, I mean, I think this is definitely that fight that you can do it. But man, I think I went Oliveira. I don't have the right computer near that. This computer doesn't have my Outlook, so I can't see what I put to him.
I mean, so if you look at it, so Beneil Dariush, unbeaten since 2018, right? The last time he lost was 2018. Meanwhile, Charles Oliveira, the last time he lost before, of course, losing to Islam Makhachev was 2017. So both these guys had insane winning streaks.
And the guys that they've went through, just absolutely incredible.
And I would say, look, Beneil's winning streak is good. Charles's is better. I mean, I mean,
that's no
I don't
fault to Dariush
better,
too, because I remember at times Dariush wasn't getting the fights at the top because people were not that people were skipping him, but people were, somehow were getting other shots that sort of leapfrogged him in some of the rankings and stuff.
It's not that he was ducking anybody, that he wasn't asking for anybody.
Just
he
people
was
were
calling
ducking
for the top matches, but he was that guy that didn't necessarily have the swagger and the cachet about him if you beat him. So if you look at the names from Beneil Dariush, just to review real quick, Thiago Moises, Drew Dober, Frank Camacho, Jakar Close, Scott Holtzman, Diego Fajeda, Tony Ferguson, Mateusz Gamrot. Of course, Mateusz Gamrot, obviously that was probably the biggest in most recent times. Meanwhile, Charles Oliveira is just crazy. Clay Guida, Christos Giagos, Jim Miller, David Timmer, Nick Lentz, Jared Gordon, Kevin Lee, and then here's that wild run where it's Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje. That run...
And before Tony, Kevin Lee.
Yeah,
Kevin Lee
was amazing.
And before that, Jared Gordon. Before that, Nick Lentz. I mean, that's unreal. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, man. Man, to see to his run of things, I remember back in the day because it was before the when he sort of seemed like people were saying he was quitting. It was like, I remember the first time he fought Nick Lentz.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was around the time people were like, oh, he's just not the same. He quits. And now it's just like, for somebody to say like that guy doesn't have heart would just be absolutely ridiculous.
I just don't even think it enters the conversation more. I mean,
yeah.
Can you say that it did in the past? Yeah,
there's
no way you can look back at that and say he didn't. You could see him break. You could watch the moment in fights where he broke, but that doesn't happen anymore. And
I mean, it's such a mental game. I think, let alone the confidence it takes for them to even go in there. For I think it was just human to have doubt come into your mind at some of these points. And when people would say, "All right, I'm done," or you just see him sort of quit. But then as they learn and they become more sure of themselves, sure of their skills, and sure of what they can take. I mean, I think that doubt sort of leaves their body. And for somebody to still hold these fighters to something they did towards the beginning of their career or something early on in the UFC, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, to look at what he's done since that time, I mean, it has to be one of the bigger, you know, turnaround stories of a career, you know, in terms of where people said, okay, this guy was a quitter to the guy was hoisting the belt, you know. I mean, it's just unreal. But yeah, this fight, I mean, I feel like you can't jinx this fight when you say this fight's going to be absolutely insane, just in terms of the technique. Will this be a rock'em sock'em, stand in the middle of the cage and just be a slobber knocker? No, probably wasn't. But in terms of the technicality of the two fighters and where they push the fight, whether it gets against the cage, whether it gets to the ground, or whether it's actually standing on the feet, the techniques and the technical skill between these two fighters is at such a high level. It's just going to be absolutely ridiculous. This is the kind of shit that I know that we're going to be creaming over, but this is the kind of shit that the fighters,
here we go, recess.
You know, this is where the fighters, I might jizz a little bit. I might jizz a little bit. But this is one of the ones where you're going to see all the fighters in the lightweight division, fighters in the divisions around them going to be looking at this because they understand the technical skills. I can't wait to see. Sometimes when I see some of the Twitter shit pop up, it's just jokes because I know half of it's media, half it's just fanboys or whatever saying shit. But I love it when I see the actual fighters weighing in on it and saying, like, dude, that was a technical just spectacle. That was whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's always cool. This is that fight.
Oh, yeah.
This is the fight on this card. I mean, obviously, the main event's going to be doing it, but this is the card. This is the fight on this card that people are going to be looking at and really being able to study.
High level MMA.
At the highest level. Yep. Highest level. So it's going to be sick. I mean, like, in a sense, you could say there's no loser in this fight because they're both fighting two of the guys. They're both fighting an opponent that's at the top of the game. But there is some real ramifications for the winner of this fight, you know, and what's next for who it is. You know, Dariush gets that win, obviously they're going to want to see him pushed and go to the other one. You know, if Oliveira gets it, does he get the same push as a Dariush win? Because we've kind of seen it already.
That's what's interesting, right? Because Charles Oliveira with a win, again, it would seem to be a number one contender fight, but I could say Islam or the UFC or whoever saying, we just saw that.
We just saw it.
Let's not do that.
You know?
So that's interesting. And the other thing, too, is that, like, I mean, Charles is 33, Benil is 34, I believe, if I got that right. So it's not like it's necessarily the end of the line. They're both at a high level, and that's not creeping into that, like, hey, how much longer do you have left? But, and I think it's fair to see. I've seen a lot of people speculate, like, if Benil wins or if Benil comes up short here, how many wins would he have to get again before they're talking about him like that, right? Because he's always been like, he doesn't call anybody out, yeah. He doesn't talk trash. And I respect him for staying within his lane and being like, look, I'm not going to be that guy that I'm not. I'm going to be the person that I am. However, the UFC is looking for that big name, that big talker. They're looking for the big headlines. They're looking for the heat. So if he loses, how many wins in a row does he have to get to be considered again?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, you know, maybe the fallback position for both these guys is sure it's starting to look like Michael Chandler doesn't have anybody lined up in the near future. So maybe whoever comes up short will still have a high-level bailout point for them to fight.
Chandler's not ready to jump up to heavyweight yet?
Light heavyweight? Oh, man. You were in the same room with me the other night. I know everybody's watching on tape by now, but as we were sitting there watching that live, were you just getting those same vibes that, this fight between Chandler and Conor McGregor is not happening?
I mean, you definitely could see where Dana was trying to put his spin on the fact that he was confident that the fight's going to happen. But it's like, as the conversation went on, it was like you felt that that confidence was gone. You know, I mean, we're now all of a sudden we've morphed into the fact of how there's others always on the rise on the roster trying to get to be where Conor is. And the fact that, you know, we haven't seen any moves.
And it's our job to find them and develop them. That's, you know what I mean? Like, oh, no.
You know, it's just, you know, the fact that we're not hearing anything along the lines of, you know, Conor entering a pool. We still, Conor, you know, the only things we see is on a blurb on a show cut where he's saying he wants 185.
Right.
And it's just like, bro, you're asking. When you see the differences between the two, you're like, you're expecting, you know, Chandler to have to jump up 30 pounds from his normal fight weight class, you know, to do this fight. It's just insane because, you know, at that point, you know, Conor, what's Conor be cutting down from like 225 to get down to like 185?
I don't
Doesn't he look?
I don't know how big he is right now, but
dude,
he's big.
He's over two. He has to be over two.
He's big.
He has to. He is such a big boy now. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Are you? Did you do episode two?
I did.
Yeah, it's keeping my interest. Is it keeping your interest, or are you?
Yeah, I mean,
I like it.
It sucked about the little sort of fight swap or whatever.
Yeah,
you know that happened the way it did. But no, I like it. I mean, they're still doing a really good job of. Cutting it the way that they did. They obviously didn't, I definitely saw that Connor wasn't there for that second weigh-in either. You know, I was like, how come Chandler keeps...
Assuming he doesn't show up for
like,
any weigh-ins.
I'm assuming he doesn't show up for any weigh-ins. You know, I was like, how can we keep seeing Chandler in the Dana spot? You know, I was like, maybe, you know, I'm not sure how they normally would do that if they just have both of them right there or if Dana would be there. I was like, oh, Dana's not even there.
He's like, well, if Connor's not showing up, like, I'm not going.
You know, whatever. But no, I think it's good. I did like the part of that... edit where they had the Connor showed up to the house and was hanging with the guys, you know, got his hair cut and was chatting with. I thought that was a really cool moment.
I thought that was cool. It's funny. So I was watching with my wife and kid, and we were watching. I'm like, does it look like Connor's a little worried that this haircut is not working out properly?
But I love
it. I was like, did Mando jack up this dude's hair?
Well, I like how they brought up the point. Like, Mando's like, normally people sit still. And he was talking. I was like, bro.
I know. We were looking at his
hair. He's like, hey, man, no. You turn. He's like, oh, bro, I just nicked him.
It looked like it did come out okay.
It looked like it came out great.
There was a second in there, like, Connor looked like he was starting to get a little concerned. Yeah. And, like, Mando was saying, like, oh, I wouldn't stop moving. Yeah. I'm like, is he going to jack up this man's haircut?
By the time when they showed him where he had the mirror and he was looking at it, he looked good. It was a good cut, you know? I mean, I thought that was really great that they allowed him to have his gear there, that they could actually do that. I thought that was a nice bonding moment, and plus something that the fighters, they could stay looking good. It gives him a chance to do something. It gives him a chance to talk with the other fighters, do something different. But I thought that whole scene of the guys, both teams were down there, you know, sort of embracing the moment with Connor being in their house. So regardless of, you know, some of the shit that, you know I was saying about, man, the guy's not showing up on practice, he's causing other shit. Doing some things like that.
Taking his time to really bond with them.
Yes, that kind of makes up for a lot of that shit, you know. So kudos to him for that, you know. I mean, I know it had to be frustrating on the, you know, not being too, you know, sort of messing up some of the training schedule. But when you're stuck in that house and it's just the other dudes and, you know, you see shit already start to get a little weird in between dudes, starting to get a little testy, for him to take the time in the night and give them something to – sort of break up the monotony and kind of ease it and give them all something
and
to chat about,
I
thought it was perfect.
I agree. And just to help them feel comfortable. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over, but like, just because you get to the UFC, like, you don't automatically feel like you're one of the boys. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you get there and like, you see the guys that are like kind of fanboying out a little bit right away. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
Now I'm, you know, and so to be treated by the biggest star in the sport, like, nah, man, you're one of us.
Yeah.
You belong. You know what I mean? I relate to you. We're in the same profession.
Right.
You know what I mean? I understand your mindset. It was cool, man. I'm liking the show. I know a lot of people, it's tough. I've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But like, I enjoy it.
And, you know, what's interesting is we still remember what Connor was like when he first came into the sport.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, his humility, he was super, super polite, you know, and there's still times where he's still like that, you know. Granted, the money and the ego and a lot of that stuff has changed quite a bit. But what I did notice about those moments, there's moments where he's tapping into that, the Connor that we remember.
Absolutely.
So some of the times when he's spending that time with the guys, when he's actually trying to connect, when he's really trying to give that sort of heart and soul and not trying to just be a character, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So there's parts of that I absolutely love seeing that, because it reminds me how it used to be.
Couple of frosty beverages in.
Dude, I was like seeing some of them. I was like, these fighters are like, they're starting to tap into the beer and the other shit. I was like, whoa.
But it was cool when he was like, there was that one moment where he was like, look at where we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're here. Now, obviously, he's way beyond that, but he's just saying, look at this, man. You guys are in this house and you're in there. You're chasing your dream. You're standing here beside me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look, that was super cool to just like enjoy this.
Even his exit was kind of like, he was just like, all right, y'all, have fun. I'm like, he was like, I did. He was like, he checked his nice watch or two that he was probably wearing. He's like, all right, I did my part. I'm out. I'm going to hit the fucking club.
I think it's worth a watch. I'll tell you what, this week.
I've been into it so far. I've watched both of them, and that's saying something for me. I've been so kind of burnt out on the seasons.
Yeah.
I think I made it through like an episode or so, and then
see
I'm just like,
debut,
okay,
like, all right, I've seen it.
Yeah, but no, this is good. So yeah, I mean, I'll be watching. I'll watch the next one. I'll keep giving it a chance.
I thought it was cool to see Cody Gibson win too. If you've been that dude's been around the game for a long time.
I didn't realize he was gone for so long.
Yeah.
They said with like 8 years.
Yeah, man,
like 8 darn years, dude. He looked great, man. He looked great. You know, there was a part of me that I was like,
family story too.
Yeah,
man.
I think that's probably what got me too. And that's the shit. That's what Tough's about. That right there, you don't get that. You're not going to get that in a regular fight night. You're not going to get that in a pre-fight package. They don't have enough time to show that shit. You're not going to get on the contenders. You don't have enough time to dig that deep into it. You know, they just want to get to the fight. That's what the Tough's about, is being able to highlight that particular thing. And I thought it was a perfect little video package. It was great how it showed it. And then it starts to make me think, like, oh man, did they show that much because he's about to lose? Like, did they go edit heavy? You know, because sometimes they'll show a lot of a great story and then you're just like, oh no, that means he's gonna lose because they showed him, because we're not gonna see him again. And but yeah, I thought his story was great and they showed it. And then I thought Mando's story was actually really good too. So
it was
two very, very likable fighters. And Mando's going to be back in the UFC. This is nothing but a small hurdle. I think he's got the personality. I think he has the fight skills. He just ran into a dude that just was great that night and just really, really wanted it. You know, I think that's, we saw that even the other night. I mean, these pros, they know there's no chance, there's no time to dilly-dally. They understand the difference of making the most of every moment of this chance that it is and just going for it.
Bro,
you know,
2-0 for the veterans already. Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to go 8-0, but I'm not saying I'd be shocked if they do. You know what I mean?
And I don't know if I've heard anything. I thought I remember hearing something that the vets get off to a really, really good start.
Really good start.
And I remember when we did the media day, there was a lot of black eyes on some people's. Remember.
When y'all did the media day, I was out of town.
I can't remember
if
it was more on
had a fight or two.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was more on the rookie side that I was seeing them. But, yeah, there was definitely some sunglasses and some bruises and stuff that we definitely saw. But
that had to be so like self-conscious. Like, I think anything on the jackass that thinks I have to wear sunglasses indoors. But in reality, like, I just had a black guy that I don't want anybody to see because we're taping a reality show.
Trying to hide it, you know, like they're already well in advance. And at that point, it was just like they already know their teams. They've already had fights. And then but they're also at the same time, don't ask them what team they're on. Don't ask them this. Don't ask them fight results. Don't ask this. And it's just like, bro, he's beat up. Like, do you want me to just ignore that?
So
fact?
The sling that your arm is in right now, does that have any significance? Or
the missing teeth in right now?
The ice bag, the ice bag on your head at the moment. Does that have anything to do with the show?
Speaking of ice bag, this funny story from the other night. A lot of fighters came into the post-fight with ice bags.
Right.
And for some reason, it must have been the length of time from when they got out of the cage, because it was the same ice bag, obviously, when they were putting it up on their legs or feet or whatever. Like, we kept having the sound guy kept having to bring in one of the janitors to clean up all the stage after every fighter, because it was
water
just water
everywhere.
And it became a routine more so than any other one. So it was just, I guess, another sign of just that particular night. A lot of fighters coming in with banged up legs, banged up knees. But it was just funny because it was like after every post fight, yeah, you see the guy come in with the mop and stuff, and I was like, "Damn, poor dude's like, what? This he's like, what? This doesn't normally happen. Like, I never have to come into this room.
I don't ever really remember seeing that."
Yeah, it was pretty funny, but yeah, there was a lot of banged up dudes on fight night.
That's
a lot of wet stage.
All right, let's talk about the rest of UFC 289 real quick. Mike Malott, a CFSC veteran against Adam Fugit. I think this is the one that a lot of people are like, why is this one on the main card? I get it. I'm happy for Mike Malott, though, in Canada. He's been lobbying to be on there. Obviously, he came through.
And that's the dude.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. Like, guys in Canada that are ready to step up and possibly be you know, somebody to help carry the flag.
Yep.
He's got to be one of the
dude,
dudes.
He is a huge welterweight.
Yeah.
A good dude, man. A lot of background, a lot of history with Team Alpha Male. So this is his breakout opportunity. So I know why a lot of people are like, I don't know about this for a pay-per-view main card. But me personally, I was like, yes, because this is the opportunity that Mike Blotz wanted. And then, of course, Dan Ige versus Nate Landwehr. I mean, that one absolutely deserves to be on the main card. Dan Ige, of course, you know, had the setbacks, but he got the recent win. Meanwhile, Nate Landwehr, you know, Nate the Train, baby.
Nate
one of
the Train,
most,
baby.
Nate the Train in the UFC, baby. I love him. He's exciting as it gets, but this is kind of his opportunity to prove, hey, I'm not just an exciting fighter, but I'm a guy that deserves to be in the rankings. On paper, to me, this looks like it should be, the favorite for fight of the night going in. So that should be a lot of fun. And then Marc-Andre Barrio versus Eric Anders.
That should be
rounding
good one.
Out the main card. Yeah, that's
somebody's going to go to sleep on that.
Somebody's
one.
Going to sleep in that one. I agree. And I saw Eric Anders is kind of eyeing the end a little bit, saying he's kind of
– Yeah, but he's still got like five fights, I think, he said on the contract.
It's still
a couple years maybe. But, I mean, he says that he's good money-wise. He was just saying this on the media day early. He said he's got things set up off to the side.
I think he's built a couple – and talking to him, kind of he's built a couple businesses along
the
way.
He just loves doing this. I mean, he's been an athlete for a long time, so I think it's just competitive.
Did you know he used to play college football?
You know, I heard he did play college football. Did he play for that guy Nick Saban? I hear he maybe played for that guy Nick Saban.
I thought I was the only one that had heard that before. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a bit of under the radar information.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this Nick Saban guy. He's okay as a coach.
But yeah, so he is good. So that'll be power. Now, as far as the rest of it, look, Nasruddin Imavov versus Chris Curtis. That's a phenomenal fight.
That's
a really, really good fight to wrap up the prelims. And then, you know, I get a little, you know, I was saying maybe I'm looking forward to this more than most. Again, I don't have to pay the $80 either. But look, I got a couple of CFFC vets on there. I got Jazz Divizius against Miranda Maverick. I got Blake Builder in there against Kyle Nelson, so I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I just think overall it should be okay again. But I always preface that by saying I don't have to pay $80 for it. So if you're saying to me, John, I'm not paying $80 for this, I understand where you're coming from. This might be one where you maybe invite some friends over, or maybe you it's funny because some people are like, this might be one where I go to the bar. But the truth is, if I go to the bar, I'm spending way more than $80. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah, they might be putting the fight on for free, but I'm not sitting there for free.
I used to never get that one. People were like, I'm not going to pay for the pay-per-view. Like, I'll just go out to B-dubs, whatever. I'm like, you can get out of B-dubs for less than $80? Like, damn.
Normal people probably can.
All right, listen, so I said it's a busy weekend. I did want to give a shout-out to some other stuff that's going on as well, because PFL is actually Thursday night. I know they've had, you know, all the headlines about PFL have been about the failed drug tests and all that. By the way, I did talk to some people that because I was asking, man, were there, like, different levels of testing going on or something? I said, no, just standard tests, man. So anyway, I know that's what the headline has been about, and it's been frustrating for them because they've had to shuffle the entire deck of their season.
Yeah.
But they're back to action, including some big ones. I mean, Brendan Lochlin is back, so that's good. I mean, obviously he's one of their rising stars. I think he's probably, gosh, I don't want to say the biggest name, but he's become one of their poster boys, to say the least. I mean, obviously he had that history with Dana White's Contender Series, but, I mean, he seems to be on top of the world. He's definitely worth watching fight. He's actually the main event. This is Thursday night. As we said, it's prelims are on ESPN+, and the main card goes to ESPN. Mobile Cowboy Live is back against Tyler Diamond. That's a great featherweight fight right there.
Yeah, I mean, those two fights right there, I mean, those are more than likely the guys that are going to meet. But a lot of people are thinking are going to be vying for the belt.
That's it.
At the end of it. I mean, so that it's worth watching just for right there, just if you're really into that particular, like, how the featherweights are going to play out.
But then you have Bubba Jenkins on there as well.
Yeah,
you've got Josh Silvera. I know that we both will always be interested in his career, of course.
Yeah.
And then you go down to the prelims, man. Marlon Moraes is on the prelims. Chris Wade against Ryoji Kudo is in there. Impa Kasangane is back. So there's some decent matchups on Thursday night in PFL. And again, this will be the start of kind of this little, you know, 3 week runs that they do, so they're back in action. So that's definitely worth
checking
out.
That's so good for them to do the Thursday, man. They're just,
I know.
It's just smart. I mean, I was a little surprised because when today I was getting ready for the media day to start, sort of going popping off, and I saw that the photos were coming in from the PFL. I was like, holy shit, is this a Thursday card?
I know.
I love it. I love it.
I think, you know, again, Thursdays get hard to sell tickets. There's no question about it. And actually, the next two are going to be on Friday nights. And I get that. But, you know, they've said in the past they basically have a business model that doesn't require them to generate any ticket revenue whatsoever for them to be profitable, for them to meet their business demands. And I agree, man. I think if you're going on Thursday night and you're not going against anybody else, I think that's a good thing, man. You can own that night. You know what I mean? Like, not that other people don't want to watch other sports. And I know there's a lot going on. Golden Knights coming up, baby. How about that, boy?
Man,
what a start.
My liver and my wallet can't take it.
What do you got? Two more nights of going out, hopefully, and get the clean sweep?
That would be nice. That shit sets me back, man. It sets me back.
We'll see. Game 3 is tomorrow. I'll, so you'll find a way to mosey on out to the bar.
I'll just go back
over to Sporting Life. Right here.
Because I just go to Sporting Life instead of going to the keg where
this man can't walk
to
a bar.
I wear the copper keg hat, and then I go over there and I have some beers and tequila. I didn't even need to do the tequila to get the going. Last time it was just beer, and I was like, yeah. And then I was like, let me just do a shot, and did a shot, and they scored again. I was like, all right, here we go. But yeah, I don't know if my liver and my wallet's gonna be able to handle it, because then me being a fucking Vegas degenerate now, then I'm like, let me just put a little money in this machine here, and I'm like, it's gonna hit. Let me put a little bit more money in the machine. Then I was like, what are you doing? It would have been cheaper just to sit and drink in the corner.
See what I mean? Just order the pay-per-view.
Oh, boy.
Game 3 Thursday night, Game 4 Saturday night, so that'll line up with UFC 289. But, I mean, look, the two games at home were awesome. I don't know if we can plan to go do that. I mean, all the nights have really done is just hold serve, right? That's all you're supposed to do. You're supposed to win your games at home. So I don't know if we're going to be able to go get the wins on the road in Florida, but it is pretty cool to see.
We can hope.
It is pretty
Even if they take one,
that's all you need.
If they take one, it'll be good.
If you're up 3-1 coming back, it has been cool to see the
boy, they've been getting
VGK.
Chippy, boy.
Oh, bro.
Between this team, boy, they're not even fuck around. They've been going at Hill a bunch.
Yeah.
Once you start messing with like the opposing team's goalie, then you know that fires up the goalie, and then you know it fires up the players.
Yeah.
And it's just been straight vicious, like right from the get-go. I mean, it could work in their favor, or it's just going to fire up the team. And then in this case, it did help a little bit, but then it just fired them up. And then it was just like, it was ridiculous. When you're losing that bad and then you're still trying to pick a fight, it's like, bro, just call mercy rule.
Just let the clock wind down and let's go home.
Save your body for the next fight, man, the next game.
I so agree. But I like the way the results have been. So you got that.
Dude, so good.
I'm not, you know, again, as I'll always say, I'm not trying to pretend like I'm any kind of massive hockey fan, but I do like the sport. Hockey is a fun sport to watch. Obviously, if you can go live, it's very expensive to go live. But if you can go watch in person, it's great. And the Vegas Golden Knights have really kind of become famous for what a show they made out of everything, and really made it.
It's such
very
a spectacle.
Vegas style.
It's so cool.
Yeah,
it's so cool. Because somebody that was watching the game the other day and was like, "Man, I should watch more hockey. I had no idea it was like this." And I was like, "Bro, it's not like this everywhere. This is Vegas's spin
like
on it.
It's like this here.
Here.
It's like this here.
Anywhere else, they'd be like, "What are we doing?" I mean, it's kind of camping. It's kind of just ridiculous, but it's a spectacle, and you just kind of expect that from being here.
Well, that's it. And I'll be honest with you. I thought when they first came to town and they decided to go that route, I was a little worried that, like, the traditionalists and the purists are going to be like, you guys are idiots. But, you know, back before, you know, everything got crazy, you know, some of the Canadian media and stuff would come down, and they'd be like, man, these games are super cool.
You know what I mean?
Like, so even those hardcore, you know, Canada's, you know, hockey's religion up there, you know, they would come down and be like, you guys have a cool show here, man. Like, the Vegas Golden Knights put on a show.
They even had Wayne Newton the other night ringing the siren. I was like, holy shit, they brought out Wayne Newton. They took him up. They took him off the mothballs. They put him in. They put some blood into his body, and they pushed him up there.
Reanimated him.
They reanimated him. They said, Wayne, all we need you to do is just spin this thing. He's like,
it's terrible.
I love it.
Terrible.
I love it.
All right, so listen, so there's that. But I did want to point out one championship on Amazon Prime Video on Friday night as well.
Nice.
That's what I say. I think this one's flying a little bit under the radar because the main event is Muay Thai. Rajan Ersel is putting his title on the line against Dmitry Mishikov. Ersel is on a 21 fight win streak, which is insane. I think Mishikov has won 11 straight to get here, so that should be absolute fireworks. And then I love the co-main event. I see a lot of criticism for the submission grappling. I don't know, man. I guess I don't know. Maybe I have more of a passion for grappling than most, but I love seeing the submission grappling on there. Cade Ruotolo is on there putting his title.
That kid is just sick.
20 years old, dude.
It's ridiculous. He's literally the future.
They're the future
of this sport.
And listen, I talked to Cade last week, and he was like, I'm absolutely going to do MMA. Like, not kind of, I may do MMA. He's like, oh, no. He's like, I'm falling in love with it. He's like, I've grown up on the mats, but he's like, I'm striking a lot. I'm loving MMA. And it was funny because I was like, are you going to be able to get, like, you can't take an amateur fight. Like, nobody's going to fight you, right? But I think it'll actually be in one championship, and they'll find him some favorable matchups. Like, you know, you don't have, his grappling is so high level, but you don't have to put him in at a high level MMA fighter right away. So, but two titles on the line, so I think those will be fun. So it's got more. There's less high level MMA on this one in terms of championships and that sort of thing. But there's some great striking battles on here. Super Bond is back. Nikki Holskin is on there. And you know, man, dude, just the Muay Thai and Florence gloves, I love. So, yeah. Amazon Prime Video.
Amazon Prime. It's a good one. Prime more than likely anyways, so it's just free. It's just free. It's a free show.
And I will
and
say,
it does
man,
well. It's done well. Like, the platform works.
It
does.
The
platform works well.
Everything, and I love the fact that, and we've talked about it before, but, like, when you turn on Amazon Prime, and I don't use Prime. I'll be honest. My wife watches a couple things, like the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel or something
that.
She watches that one.
Yep.
I don't think I watch anything on Amazon Prime except for this. But, like you said, I have it because, of course, I have Amazon Prime because we all order Amazon. But it's so cool because when you go in there and open it up, like, it's right there. It's not like you got to search for it. Like, I love the fact that they didn't be like, hey, we're going to partner with you, and then we're going to bury you somewhere where somebody has to find it. You know, it's right there. So
nope, they know what they're doing, man. That's for sure. No, man, what a great Thursday night fights, Friday night fights, Saturday night fights.
I'm telling you.
What the F? And from home. I love working from my couch. I fucking love it.
It was funny. The travel department was apologizing vehemently to me, and I was like, you know what?
It's all good.
It's all right. Like, don't feel bad.
I love it.
Mistake made. It's on you. It's not on me. And I'll just watch from home. It's okay.
I like it.
So I'm going to enjoy this week at home. Of course, we will have the and a half episode to wrap up UFC 289. So everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow for as little as $3 a month. We definitely appreciate that, and you will hear from us. And then after I do get to enjoy this week on the road, I will be – or week at home, I should say. I will be back on the road next week. And then it's going to get fun. So next week will be CFFC. CFFC on Friday, June 16th. I was starting to get my broadcast notes together. The lineup is stacked. So put it on there. CFFC 120, Friday, June 16th, Atlantic City. If you're in the area and you can get tickets, do that. If not, it'll be on UFC Fight Pass, of course. I'm telling you, the lineup is stacked. I think that's going to be a fun one. And then the following week, I'm flying out to Canada again to go work with Fight League Atlantic and the crew out there. So looking forward to that. Then we'll come back and do an Apex show, and then it's International Fight Week, and then it's two straight CFFC back-to-back fight weeks. Might be adding something else in there. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
Busy.
It's okay, travel department. I'm just fine.
I like it.
All right. Well, listen, I'll let you get back to it. I know we all got to get back to work. UFC 289 is going on. I'm going to go head out, go grab the family, spend this bonus time that I got with them. Take the kid to soccer practice tonight, hang out, watch it to you. Watch the Champions League final on Saturday. It's funny because Man City has always kind of been my Premier League team. You know, they got the nice blue. You know how I side with blue. And I know that's not popular because people are like, oh, you just pick the ones that are. But it was also the first Premier League grounds that I got to tour because we went over there for the Dan Henderson-Michael Bisping fight, and they did like a press event there. So that was the first time I got to walk around Premier League grounds. But Inter Milan, the first game I ever got to see in Europe was at the San Siro. It was my wife and I were actually – we were just starting to date, actually, and we went over there and took a trip because her sister lives over in Italy. So we actually went over to England for UFC 75, saw that show in England, and then I think it was 75, right? I hope I'm getting that number right. And then from there went over to Italy for a few days. And so I was like – I watched Inter when they won the treble, when they had Zlatan, all that. So it's my two teams, I guess. I mean, not that I even – again, I don't get to watch much European soccer.
Yeah.
It's usually bright and early on a Saturday morning, and I'm trying to sleep in because we got MMA that night to cover. But I do – I mean, how do you not watch the Champions League final if you like soccer? And I was going to try to watch it on the road in Vancouver, but now I can watch it with my kid. You know what I mean? So you gotta look at all the bright side of these things.
Yeah. Actually, almost, Apple TV was offering a deal on the MLS for the rest of the season
free.
Package.
T-Mobile did free at the beginning of the
at
year.
At the beginning, I missed out on it. Yeah, and I thought about trying to get that. But, yeah, I mean, MLS is great and it's all that. But, yeah, man, we're talking about the Premier League, Serie A, those big ones over there. It's night and day. But, yeah, you start talking about some of the teams in Italy.
You reminisce, right? My
time in Italy in the Serie A. Shit, I love that.
If I remember, you were there when they won the Cup,
when they won the World Cup.
Wow.
It was unreal. It's so huge. I literally, just right now,
I can imagine
transport
the memories
it back.
Going through,
just,
yeah.
So good. I love that shit.
Such an amazing country. Well, so, hey, not that we're going to be the soccer road show or the football road show, but Leo Messi coming to the U.S.?
Dude, I think they all plan to come here. I mean, like, what a great retirement, I call it retirement, an active retirement. Let's go play in a league where they could be
the level's
75%
yeah.
and they're going to be better than 95%. You know,
right.
It's going to be absolutely sick. Yeah, no, dude, it's going to be stud. I expect them all to come. And why not? I'm happy for the MLS and the credentials and the push that it does to bring these guys over. And I mean, these guys are, they're legends. If you can get a chance to see them, I'm like, who gets the opportunity to go overseas and watch these guys play? But if you can get to see them, even if it's at the waning part of their career, they're still going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
And it's still going to be fun. I mean, like, who wouldn't want to see that sort of stuff? So yeah, I assume all the big guys are going to come over here at some point.
Yep.
You know, why not? I mean, it's America. We're the greatest country in the world.
America.
Just saying. And for all our fans overseas, I love your country as well. I'm just joking.
We just know the stereotype. We're just having some fun. All right, listen, busy week. So hopefully everybody can watch a little PFL. You can watch a little One Championship. You can watch a little UFC as well. Then you can hear all about it on the NHF episode over at patreon.com/MMA Roadshow. In the meantime, everybody enjoy time with your families. Enjoy the weekend. Do all the things that you love to do. And thanks for listening. We'll be right back.